find yourself in danger when you're trapped in fire. And when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and wreck you.
Call out for Super Ficken.
And if you're afraid, you'll have to overlook it.
Besides, you knew the job was fucked up when you took it.
He will bring his super song and throw the bag of sorrel off, and he will bring them in alive and kick it. There was one thing you should learn when there was no one else in town.
Call out for Super Ficken. Call out for Super Ficken. Greetings, Ogling Wigger and Manzer F. Clowns across the food and nutted Zog Plain, in the open air, coast-to-coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. Now, this is a belated edition of the Movement Turd, number 79, for last week. And folks, there was not a Sunday show, because I was busy fighting off a bogus Digital Millennium Copyright Act complaint by Brian Real. And pretty well, so I didn't have a number 79 Sunday. And then Thursday, got on Pal Talk, and Pal Talk sucks. Pal Talk sucks big time. Brian Rio can go ahead and try and whine and bitch and piss and moan to go ahead and use Pal Talk to, you know, to go ahead and whine to Pal Talk that someone is saying something racist. Someone is saying something against the government. And what is funny is that Eli James and Brian Real claim that they're scared that I'm going to go ahead and stick the anti-racist activists on them when they're the ones who are the Jews and the Manzers, pretend to be Christian identity, and who do all the tricks of the anti-racist activists by trying to go ahead and take down web pages, trying to take down forums, trying to take down, well, free speech among white men. And the reason that they do that is because, well, they're not white themselves. So I'm going ahead and making a belated number 79 from Bits and Pieces that I went ahead and got, and Pal Talk sucks. And I do not think I'm going to be using Pal Talk in the immediate future. I already got a few friends who have set up little talks to things here, and I can go ahead and sneak on and sneak off and just simply send by invitation only to a few trusted people so that they can go ahead and do some chat. And then if they're stupid enough to go ahead and let Brian Real know where it's at, why, hey, well, it's no big deal. Just start another, you know, start another chat room or something like that. So, folks, the thing about it is, though, is that the Jews, like Eli James and Bill Fink, who have been with us since, well, since Cain, have been going ahead and living off of Wiggers for a long time, 7,000 years or so. But why do we have a problem? Why do we have a Jew problem or a Manzer problem? The answer what we have is we have a Wigger problem. And folks, I'm going to go ahead and play the Wigger problem song in just a few minutes. Well, folks, tonight we're going to go ahead and discuss April Gady, among other things, and I'll have Northwest do a good deal of talking. I had a friend of mine call up from the Nut House. And he's in a better place than he was a while back ago in Gilman. He's in St. Joseph right now. And essentially, he doesn't have one heck of a sense of humor, although he's nutty as can be. So I'll probably go ahead and include his call, and then we'll have Northwest go ahead and talk, you know, his take on April Gady. And then I'm going to do a quick section on Pete Peters. Because what you have is you have a bunch of Manzers and a bunch of Wiggers. Essentially, Pete Peters never listened to these goofy bastards a day in his life. Never a single, you know, Pete Peters never asked anybody how to run his particular church. Now, in 1992, he decided to become a fire eater. And then he got a long look at Movement Pistol. And folks, they are not at all like Louis Beam. Louis Beam gave a Enemies of the State speech. And I think that's what Harold Covington was talking about in his podcast. And I have the thing somewhere, and I don't know where the heck it is. But folks, it was one heck of a speech. And it's something that was on video that sort of disappeared and will probably be quite valuable or quite useful in the days of YouTube or something like that. So folks, in any case, folks, there have been a lot of people who said that they've had a movement turd withdrawal. Now what I have done is I have been working hard on getting my web page back up. And sort of iffy, like for one day, for a complete day, the MySQL server was down, so the forum was not able to be activated. For example, today. Today was Saturday, the 23rd of July. On the 23rd of July, most of the time, I was not able to access my own forum or my own web page here at the house. I had to go ahead and use a proxy server in order to go ahead and get on it. And I pretty well create a whole bunch of events or forum events. And then I might go back and fill them in. But I have a secret forum. And folks, I don't want Brian Real to go ahead and see it. Because he has no honor and he has no decency because he's a dirty mamzer. But the problem is that under normal circumstances, if Brian Real would have stepped forward its head, it simply would have been slapped down. Back in the day, it would have been treated as just nothing more than just a nigger boy, or a gook, or what have you. I mean, it's, you know, it's pretty well a multiracial mamzer. They would have been slapped down. And any Jew who would have dared to go ahead and censor any white man, like Eli James did, or like Bill Fink did, would have been slapped down too. And the rest of the Jews would have been, well, pretty well learned something to where, hey, you keep an eye on your Jews. See, that's what kept the Jews in their place. Because, essentially, people get tired of their shit, but in areas where they knew about Jews, vast areas of Europe, even if they decided to let Jews live, these Jews had to live in their own little settlements, and if they caused trouble, every so often there would be a pogrom, and pretty well all the Jews would die for the behavior of, well, pretty well Jew behavior. People didn't put up with Jews running wild. People didn't put up with niggers running wild. People didn't put up with mamzers running wild. And if it got real bad, they just simply wiped a whole lot of them out. But only in certain localities, because folks, the Jews have been allowed to live as spawn of Satan in order to go ahead and infest the white man. Why to infest the white man? Is to go ahead and make sure that heaven is not crowded up with Uyghur drones. So folks, when we go ahead and look at what is going on, the reason things are going bad, it's because it's not because we have a nigger problem or a beaner problem or even a Jew problem. It's because we have a Uyghur problem. So folks, I'm going to go ahead and play the theme song. And folks, then I'm going to go ahead and we will probably have a show lasting about, oh, maybe an hour and a half tonight or today. And I'll try to go ahead and get it up. And I'll try to go ahead and get it on whitenationalist.org/useful/audio/TMT for the Movement Turd. And folks, it'll be up there for a little while, and then I'll have to take it down, because I cannot afford to stay a bunch of stuff here that lasts forever. And I may have to go ahead, and it's not going to be 32-bit, it's going to be 16-bit, if that, and it might end up being reduced to 8 kPa, you know, kilobytes per second. And folks, I got a Library of Congress archive page, and I may very well end up using it. So in any case, what I have is that I have a few shows. The earliest show, episode 0, from the 22nd of December, 2009, when I was sort of friendly with Finkelschini at the time, and he wanted to get into Christian Identity. And folks, now what Finkelschini and Eli James are at is that they are facing. They're facing a good deal of problems in that people know that they're Jews and they know that they're mamzers. Now, because I went ahead and took care of the forum business. I have my forum and I have my web page up. It wasn't taken down like Brian Real expected to do. And folks, Brian Real has made a lot of enemies. And as a result, from what I gather, you can go ahead and send links to it. You can go ahead and mention his name now. You can go ahead and send hot links to his page and let him run around trying to stomp out all of them, their links. And folks, you have a few parody forums like the ChristianIdentityForum.info, making fun of 2.5 Mamsers and Oba Gender Bender. You have Mumps Nuts Liability Clueless running around, pretty well being quiet. You have Jeremy Visser trying to get back into Christian Identity, even though he's a self-admitted Mamser and not facing very many people who are going to go accept a Mamser. Because if you accept a Mamser as being a pastor, then what are you? Certainly not white. Folks, Christian Identity has been pretty well above ground, has been taken over by Mamsers and Jews. That's all there is. But folks, why is that? And the answer is because of Wiggers. So anyway, we'll go ahead and add this here, a short segment to where I've expressed disgust with Pals Talk. And folks, what I'm going to do is I'm getting back on the internet. But it's taken me a while because I've been kicked off for essentially 8 months off the internet. Not altogether, but folks, in many cases I have been. So what we're going to do is we're going to try to go ahead and catch up on the latest shows, get them up there. And folks, there probably won't be any place other than the Library of Congress where you can go ahead and download the old shows. But we will get the shows up, we will get things done here, and we will proceed. Because folks, this is not a ministry about overthrowing the government. This government, this regime is overthrowing itself. We're only a couple days away from financial Armageddon. And what they're going to do is, I'm very sure they're going to kick the can down the road. But guess what? Maybe they won't. And maybe there will be a meltdown. You never know. You never know. So folks, in these last days of July, in the heat of summer when things are getting very hot, there's drought, there's a whole bunch of things going on that nobody knows anything about, I want to go ahead and at least get back to some of the things here which made my program rather interesting, and to go ahead and show the Mamsers and the Jews, the Mamsers like Brian Real and Jeremy Visser, and the Jews like E.I. James and Bill Fink, is that as long as there's a white man, there will always be a Genesis 3:15 entity that is alive and well and working. So folks, we'll just go ahead and without further ado, we'll get on to it. So hail victory, folks.
Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the way you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build us up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy to drop. I wake up and right away, the way you come to mind. The way they run to and fro, the way you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem, which is always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build the top up to the top. The way they run to and fro, creatures keep remembering how good God used to be. Being taught long stone, afraid of memory. Yes, I admit we got a wicked problem. Wicked's always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, took the wicked you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wicked problem. Build it off up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop.
Goggling, wigger, and man's ass clouds across the fruit inn that is Zog Plain. In the open air, coast to coast, that house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. And also to the pitiful few remnant, the elect, the chosen seed of Israel's race, you who did hear the call, the found sheep of the house of Israel, to whom this message is mainly dedicated, greetings. This is episode number 79, not 79 and a half, but episode number 79 of the Movement Turd. And tonight is the 21st of July. It's about 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. And it looks like I end up having about an audience of, three people. And in any case, the reason there was no Sunday show is that Brian Reel had just come up with a bogus DMCA complaint, whining like a little man's a pussy that he is, that he had been, his copyrights had been violated. Now, this time, he went ahead and admitted that the avatar for Brookback Manzer was him. It showed a coffee-colored little effeminate wearing a cowboy hat and looking like he's just heading to the neighborhood faggot bar. Or he wants to go ahead and do some sucky-fucky with Dickie Baird or whatever. And he did go ahead and admit that it was his avatar, and that was a violation of his copyright. Well, actually, it isn't, because it was from the Zuqua profile page. And the rest of the pictures had Zuqua.com. But also, he was whining that I had gone ahead and violated his copyright by going ahead and taking a post where he was scheming to have me removed from Pal Talk, this Pal Talk show. And, okay, it looks like we're gone right now. That's why I don't like Pal Talk. Let's see. Like I was saying, last week I was busy Sunday night going ahead and taking down these avatars, which only took about 5 minutes, but also drafting a notice to where Brian Rear was trying to threaten on how to take me down on Pal Talk. Now, on his little Sword Manzer show with Finkelshini, he was yapping about who he would write to in Pal Talk to go ahead and have this chat room taken down. And, folks, this chat room is sort of shitty. I just got kicked off after 2 minutes or less, really for no good reason. It's a rather crappy server. It's a rather crappy way of going ahead and using things here. And folks, I might or might not migrate to Skype, figure out a more secure way of Skype, but the reason I have this friend who set this Pal Talk thing up was that I can use a browser or a proxy server, set the thing up, or he can set the thing up, and it'll be in a foreign server, and then from then on, using that Pal Talk, well, I have no problem with being able to go ahead and use it. So even if Brian Reel was to go ahead and spend a week or so bitching, pissing, moaning about, how seditious things and how awful things are being discussed, he just knows it. They're talking about him. And even if Pal Talk goes ahead and listens to him, from what I gather, 4,489 rooms, 63 members on Pal Talk Express, and there might very well be more for the paid-for program. I have no idea. But why in the world would Pal Talk worry about what is being said on one of the chat rooms? Now, I know they have a little thing to where you can't go ahead and use any Anglo-Saxon monosyllables. You can't go ahead and talk about niggers and Jews and all this other stuff here. And supposedly, Brian Real could maybe well take it down, but on the other hand, what would my nigger lips accomplish? And the answer is not very much. But folks, the real reason I use it is to go ahead and do the interaction with the chat. When I get around to suing them, sue Talks to, maybe Talks to will decide to bring back my to allow me to go ahead and bring back my Talks to program, or they may decide to go ahead and take down Brian Real and take down Eli James and TC Zeus to behave themselves. Now, folks, what we end up having is that Mamzers and Jews like Eli James wouldn't get very far if it weren't for stupid Whiggers. Now, I talked to this older guy named John Knight, and John Knight is okay, but he has the delusional belief that the Nazis were all, and the SS were all Jews. And guess who was the head of the Nazi party in the SS? Why, Hitler. And Hitler was a Jew. Well, I said, well, how do you know Hitler was a Jew? Oh, I just know he was here. I said, well, Eli James is a Jew. He looks like a Jew. And I went ahead and gave him the picture at whitenationalist.org/Eli James. No, Eli James can't be a Jew. Well, why? Well, I work with Eli James. I said, well, you do realize that Richard Niemann was a Finnish Jew, don't you? No, I don't realize that either. So what happens is that John Knight doesn't seem to realize that a Finnish Jew like Niemela, who was bitching that he hated dual feed line because supposedly it came from the Talmud, and Niemela never could explain where in the Talmud it admitted that the Jews were the spawn of Satan. And it does, sort of in a roundabout way, say that, yes, Jews are descended from Cain, and Cain was descended from Lucifer. They don't go ahead and out say that Jews are descended from the spawn of Satan, but they sort of hint around it in a little Jew way. And here's Niemela, 10 years ago, essentially having a shit fit about Christian identity, in that it was, especially dual seed line variant, because it was based upon the Talmud. And me and this character named Hengist at the time said, okay, Niemela, you Talmudic screwer, you finished Jew. Where in the world does it say, does it admit that you Jews are a spawn of Satan? Go ahead and tell us when the Talmud it says that. Well, no Jew is going to win such an argument at all. And the reason they're not going to win any such argument is because, well, I'm having a call, and I recognize it's from the Nut House, and I'm not going to go ahead and answer it right tonight. Well, maybe I should have answered it tonight. Who knows? Maybe I should have gone ahead and answered it and had her on the line here. He did a pretty good job here. Well, let me just go ahead. And, folks, you guys want to go ahead and hear a call from a genuine nut at the Nut House? Let's go ahead and try. Okay. Yes, I think he tried to call me and I didn't get to the phone on time. Would he still be up? Okay.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha! You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed. You laughed when I had said that losing you would make me flip my lid. Right?
You know you laughed. I heard you laugh. You laughed. You laughed and laughed. And then you left. But now you know I'm utterly mad. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. I cooked your food, I cleaned your house, and this is how you pay me back for all my kind, unselfish, loving deeds. Huh? Well, you just wait. They'll find you yet. And when they do, they'll put you in the ASPCA, you mangy mutt. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and
hello? Hello, Jimbo, you're on the Movement Turd again.
Hi.
Hi. Well, say hello, Zogling invaded or occupied America.
Hello, you Zoglin occupied America.
All right, well, that's good enough here. Anyway, what's up, Jimbo?
Oh, just having fun.
Have fun, Nuthouse?
Yeah.
You have some fairly good food today, or that's a high point of your life in many times. I had some guy said that he was nuts and he was taking all this, you know, dope here, and I said he really ought to go ahead. He could either suck it up here, or what he could do is refuse to take his meds and do the Jewold Lee Lochner option. And then what he would do is he would be sent to a nut house, and he could just have a fine old time there here and have all the hot and cold running dope he wanted. And, oh, I remember the best time of eating Big Swill was every second Wednesday when they would have chili and they would have pimento sandwiches, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that was my favorite. That was my favorite at the time was the pimento sandwiches. Okay?
Well, here they serve onion rings.
Well, okay, you have onion rings. So you don't have chili and pimento cheese at the same time, do you?
No, but we do get chili.
Oh, okay. But not at the same time here, but yeah, I remember when the second Wednesday was the best food of the entire week here because you had both chili and pimento cheese. Okay?
Yeah, that's to keep the nuts happy.
Well, that's good here. That's very good. Anyway, I'm on Pal Talk. I have somebody talking in the background, but I'll go ahead and get to them in a little bit. So how are you, Jim? You just decided to stay up a little bit and call me?
Yeah, it's past my bedtime, but they put me on lithium salts.
Lithium salts? How come?
They keep me from being manic.
Okay. Well, manic isn't good here, especially if you run around and do stuff you shouldn't be doing. So.
Well, I'm not manic right now.
Okay. Well, they'll say that's because you have the lithium salts here, whether you like them or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They gave me that option. I could take them whether I liked it or not.
Oh, okay. So, by the way, old Jane, she found her another boyfriend here. He's another 63-year-old loser here who's a drunk. 62, whatever. In any case.
Well, at least she's not in prison.
Well, that's good here. She's still mad. He likes drinking whiskey, but she's still mad at you suggesting that she send you $600 so you can go ahead and tattoo the name of your gay lover up on your buttocks.
Well, I think that'd be great fun.
Well, she's still huffy about it. Here she is here. She went ahead and sent this faggot $600 and essentially hid the name of his gay lover, Tom, upon his neck, and Tom died of AIDS. And I don't know if he died of AIDS.
Chris died
of AIDS? So her faggot boyfriend died of AIDS after stealing $600 of her dollars.
Yeah.
and she didn't get number back, and she said it was all worth it. Well,
yeah,
hey.
She said he did good phone sex.
Gave good phone sex? Well, she used to jack to some old geezer in California, and he'd be beating off on the other end here. So, I mean, shoot. Not no, did he croak off, too? Oh, okay. Well, she had a misunderstanding with him too here. So anyway, you're doing okay. It is hot as hell down here in Southwest Missouri.
Yeah, it's hotter down there than it is up here.
Oh, down. Well, yes. Well, it's a little bit further north here. I'm told that the grass is growing very nicely in South Dakota. It's been a wet year, and they had to worry about flooding and all.
Yeah, well, they get flooding from the snow melt.
Well, the snow melt is a little bit over with by now, seeing as how it's July. But
well, I don't know. The higher you get up into the mountains, there's still some snow.
Yes, well, they're not worried about flooding up on the mountaintops, I don't think. So, anyway, Jimbo, you're doing okay, and you're doing okay, so anything interesting happening?
Yeah, I wrote my psychiatrist that he should buy calls for SiriusXM satellite radio for December $2.50 calls. They sell for 22 cents a piece, or they're for 100 shares, so that's $22 a piece.
Oh, okay. So you're giving him free stock market tips here. Did your psychiatrist take your advice?
I don't know. He thinks that I'm very smart, so he might.
So you think you're very smart? But he thinks you're also maniac. That's why he's giving you lithium salts, like it or not. Right?
Yeah, he does think I'm a maniac.
Well, what happens is that, shoot, so like old Jewel Lee Lochner here. Anyway, old Jewel Lee, they're making a big deal about whether or not to medicate him against his will. He's at the Springfield Federal Nut House in Springfield, Missouri.
He pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity. At the time of his crime, he was insane.
Well, that's probably what is waiting to be determined here. You know what I mean? Of course.
Saying that if they medicate him, they'll make him
good enough to stand trial. Yeah. Well, I don't know. The guy sounds like he's pretty well a. Well, he was nuts when he did it here, so, I mean, that would sort of prove that he was sort of nuts anyway to begin with, right?
Yeah.
So, in short, make him in order to stand trial, in order to go ahead and determine whether he was nuts when he went ahead and did it. It seems to me like you're already making admission that the guy is, well, a Fruit Loop, right?
Yeah, he said he had awake dreaming.
Are you going to go ahead and send him
not
any?
Just dreaming.
Are you going to go ahead and send him any letters to him? Certified mail using my address, like you did to Scott Roeder.
I don't know. Should I?
No, I don't think you should. I have the fucking Secret Service as a result of this little cocksucker Brian Rio going ahead and calling. Him and Eli James called the Secret Service on me. So. In any case, anyway, if you do go ahead and send some fan mail to Jewel Lee Lochner, do it on your own name here. Don't really go ahead and bring me into it like you did with Scott Roeder. I was wondering, why the heck did I get one of them little freaking green envelopes? From Scott Roeder over in Wichita, Kansas, when he was on trial, and I see my Bishop of Fulton handwriting.
Well, confiscates all those. They did not give them back to me, and so I have to send them to a third party.
Well, yes, but you sent them in a third party in my name here. You know what I mean? It was addressed to Pastor Mark Linstead, 338 Rabbit Track Road, Granby, Missouri. And I was wondering, what the hell? No, it didn't really give me any problems. It did make me wonder, what the hell did you send off to Scott Roeder? You know what I mean?
Well, I told him that he should plead insanity and go to Larned State Hospital. It's a much better place than prison.
Oh, okay. Well, we remember.
I sort of agree getting rid of Tiller the Killer.
Well, okay. Tiller the Killer. Well, we remember we had this conversation about how Florida State was so much better than Fulton, remember?
It is.
And I told you how you could have gone to back to Larned, but no, you did things the way in which you ended up going to Fulton instead of Larned State here. Remember?
Well, I wasn't planning on going to either one of them.
Yes, I know. And you did leave with Mary Chase for about, 3 months. I'll grant you.
12 months.
Oh, 12 months? You were pretty well hid for a whole year for hiding from Dog and its minions?
Yeah, my only screw up was having stolen plates on my van.
Oh, okay. Well, you couldn't use your regular plates on your van, because then everybody would say, the same maniac, wanted in Missouri. So I guess you had to use, stolen plates on your van, didn't you?
I should have rode the bus.
Okay. Well, wouldn't have gone ahead and, riding out on the bus and public transportation, especially after being on America's Most Wanted twice, wouldn't that have been a little bit more dangerous than just driving the van around, though?
Well, I rode the bus when I first, my 10 minutes is up.
Oh, okay. Well, James, I'm going to go ahead and say hail victory and wish that you call in some other night to the Minimum Turd, okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, hail victory.
Hello, Zogland.
Hello, Zogland. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Because of you, someone is taking involuntary treatments of lithium. Bye-bye, Jimbo.
They're coming to take me away, huh?
Ah, well, he came and took you away. Oh. Yeah, he took you away. Talk to you later, Jimbo. Hail victory.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that's my Bishop, formerly of Fulton and now St. Joseph, Missouri, here. And let me tell you, he turned out to be a better choice than Liar Bill Mumps Nuts the Clues. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take a short break, and we're going to go ahead and cut to Northwest, because Northwest has something to say. And I hear him in the background, and I'm going to let him do some talking, okay? Hail victory, folks. More near than Kunta Kinte at a Victoria's Secret shoot. That night I strolled in on my Mud Shark Sisters project flat looking for love. It had been a while. In fact, 365 had come and went since on Clan of Mamsers spying for Zog on Ron Edwards. I had picked up this shit skin that was sweating gallons through a pair of Daisy Duke cutoffs and one of them blue loom tank tops. Well, that night, I lost myself to nigger, blubber lips, paper bag shit skin, and flat duke eyes. Name was Brian. The coontang is so much better when the nigglet is crying. Yes, the coontang is so much wetter when the nigglet is crying. Well, I find it's quite a thrill, which an equal grinds me against its will. Yes, the coontang is so much better than the nigglet is crying. Well, faster than you can say Sally Hemings, my nigglet nieces come up to me and start seeing my balls like hard-boiled eggs in a tube sock. Said her name was Shaniqua, and I said, well, that's a coincidence, darling, because I was just thinking about humping you like Massa Tom. So she smiled, had about as much teeth as a jack-o'-lantern, and I went on to tell her how I would wear tang like a mask as I do my little cookie dance. And then she told me to shush. I guess she confessed my desperation, because it's hard to hide a hard-on when you're dressed like a beach ball. Dang is so much better when the nigglet is crying. Yes, the coontang is so much wetter when the nigglet is crying. Well, I find it's quite a thrill,
What location drives me against its will? Yes, the Koontang is so much better when the niglet is crying. So Leticia's going on about how she's going to make all my fantasies come true. So I says, even this one where I have where Bill Fink is Jackhammer, Eli or Jason, Doo-Doo Hole, the Lawn Dart, and Vicky Barrett gives birth to something resembling a Siskin Jew Golem with a wet manjana and a British lady stick, both two nickel bags, 20 minutes and $30 later, I'm slapping my mom's stuff in Koontang. Koontang, if you know what I mean. Got the nailer back at Sister Sharon. Huh, they rhyme. I have to admit, it was even more of a turn-on when I found out she was munching down on baby formula. Yes, the Koontang is so much better when the niglet is crying. Yes, the Koontang is so much wetter when the niglet is crying. Well, I find it's quite a thrill when Leroy grinds me against its will. Yes, the Koontang is so much better when the niglet is crying. Dear Sword Pass, when I went to a special agent in charges, there I was browsing through the latest issue of FPLC Informants, and when I saw Shanique was staring at me from the back of the milk carton, well, my heart just dropped. So I decided to do what any good Zogbot would. You cannot imagine how difficult it is to hold a half gallon of moo juice and need the wide-eyed gopher when your mouth starts to stand while driving back to the project. I never thought the missing niggas could be so sexy. Did I say that out loud? Koontang is so much better when the nigglet is crying. Yes, the Koontang is so much wetter when the nigglet is crying. Well, I find it's quite a thrill when Kimbia grinds me against its will. Yes, the Koontang is so much better when the niglet is crying.
Busy talking to my nutty pastor in St. Joseph here, and I knew you were talking, so I just went ahead. Why don't you go ahead and start at the beginning, okay?
Start at the beginning of what exactly?
Oh, start at the beginning again of what you were talking about. I'm sort of recording you now, okay?
You mean the whole April Katie? You probably mean the April Katie. Well, that's what
I'm about April. I don't think
it has come up that April Gave Team Daughters and Slam have decided to pull a little broad stick and have multicultural and diversity. And I sort of have a false pop of my heart over the gate. I haven't seen it firsthand. but I hear people are kind of giving April a really rough time over that. I find that distasteful, to say the least. Not that I'm defending their antics, but you certainly don't criticize April Gage when she did her best to raise her daughter's rights when her daughters become adults and start rejecting her. Whatever extent they reject her. So, one person in the audience has made a comment that pressure has become race crazy. Yeah, that's true. And I pointed out to this person, bear in mind that I, up until very recently, was basically a race crazy. Through my cooperation with that for that dog. Which, for those of you who don't know what I'm about, they're going to be back away from their laptop. And it's important to point out that it's very difficult to internalize things that you're taught until you're really tested on. For example, when I was a senior in high school, I was taking calculus with a handful of maybe 20 other people in my high school. And of course, everybody in that room was going to go, oh, you're the special college bound type. Of course, you think it's calculus high school, so you are. But a lot of those people are now scientists and engineers, in fact. But a certain concept involving taking the derivative of this and seeing where it equals zero and so on and so forth will give you a local maximum with that x coordinate, whatever. I didn't internalize that until I was really tested on it, as in during a test. But I started to really understand what that concept means and how to apply it as I was taking a test on it. And the same thing happened with my physics class, my AP physics class in my senior year. Shortly after Christmas break, where we were being tested on a problem of tension, acceleration, force, you know, like you're sliding down a rope that can only hold so much tension. How fast are you going to be going when you hit the ground, assuming you grip as much as you can on the rope without breaking it? So what that boils down to, in layman's speak, is that gravity is still acting on you because there's going to be some sort of a net force acting on you because the rope can't hold all of your weight. Then gravity is going to slowly accelerate you down that rope. And again, I didn't start to I know that that's a lot of technical babble, and I'll stop with it, but point being, until you're really pressed on something, it's hard to tell exactly how much of it's been internalized, and it's hard to even say whether or not you have internalized it. And in my case, I certainly didn't start to understand these things until I was really forced to interact with it in a serious way. And unfortunately, that's probably the case with April Gaby's daughters. They... Yeah, it's blatant from what I've seen that April did her level best to teach them right. But the problem is, I basically knew most of what I know now about race, but I didn't want to admit it to myself until I was forced to deal with it. Through various, and again, I haven't had something tragic happen to me like a lot of people do. And Pastor Lindstedt and I were briefly discussing this, and we're hoping it doesn't take something tragic to turn them around. Now, I mentioned I have a special spot in my heart for the Gady family, and Prussian Blue in particular. The first time I heard the 14 words was when some news clipping on the internet had the Prussian Blue twins reciting it. And, of course, I was dedicated to what I now know as Lysenkoism. At the time, I was one of those, oh, no, if we just socialize all the mud, they'll be good to us. And I was slowly finding out that wasn't the case. And I didn't become a full-on racist at this time. But basically, it was, you know, years and years ago, you know, 2007, April 2007 is when I saw this. And basically she's a little girl who will secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. And I was regularly accused of being a racist by Mutt, even though I never did anything racist, which is part of what was starting to turn me. But at the same time, all of a sudden I hear, you know, what's the big deal? What's the big deal with racism? And I hear somebody say the 14 words, and I had never been ashamed to be white necessarily. So I was immediately enriched spiritually by the 14 words. And like I said, the first time I heard the 14 words, it was from Russian Blue. So obviously I've become a full-on racialist since then. But, you know, I really hate to see anybody criticize them, and that's probably some sort of inappropriate bias on my part, but put it to you this way, I showed that clip to a few other people. They were white. And they flipped out when they heard the 14 words, and I thought the 14 words were okay. Of course, I sort of started to realize something was wrong with non-whites. And no one else around me had at that point. And, as I said, I've never been ashamed to be European. I never understood the attacks on white people in general in society up to that point. And, Prussian Blue is kind of special to me, because they were the ones that first told me the 14 words. And not only that, seeing what other white people's reaction to the 14 words, you know, how anti-white white people can be, and how race traitorous white people are, and that was kind of a turning point for me, because I was always quasi-racial from that point on. So, I will admit to being a little sad that Prussian Blue has done this, but, in the off chance that April Gady hears this, look, April, I wish you and your family the best, and I hope nothing bad happens to your daughters, and I hope they come out of this all right. And I hope they make themselves right with you for kind of rejecting what you taught them. I always had a habit of, this just as an aside to somebody listening, I kind of had a habit of keeping my opinions to myself, so that I didn't always agree with my parents about every little thing, but I basically didn't do anything dumb when I was growing up. I didn't hurt anybody, didn't break any laws, but, you know, kept my nose in the books when I was in college, and I'm doing pretty well compared to a lot of people today, and I credit that largely to my parents. And I always sort of did, because I had the sense not to do anything stupid. I might think things through one more time, perhaps. I don't know. And I'll point out to the audience in general, generally I don't make that sort of appeal to people. Like I said, I kind of... It's hard for me to criticize Prussian Blue necessarily. It's hard for me to criticize April Gady. But they are white, so I'm going to try to reason with them. I can't just give up on them like that. And it kind of bugs me that a lot of people are... I know April's kind of a public figure, both in the world in general and in the movement, and it's easy for a lot of armchair quarterbacks to make fun of her when something like this happens, but it really is not funny. It really is. Especially since to this day I feel sorry for having criticized them, even when I wasn't quite racial, for for living their lives the way they have, and especially after meeting Pastor Lindstedt and a few other racialists. After I found the Northwest Front, I kind of changed my opinion on that sort of thing, because, I find myself gravitated more and more to the things they've done, and the way they live their lives, and the things they've tried to teach the white community as a whole, and to this day, I'm still sort of sorry I criticized them, even in a minor way I did. And, well, she is a goofhead. Sorry, Miss Katie. She is a goofhead. She's done some things a lot of people don't agree with. That's definitely true. She's made some decisions I certainly wouldn't have made. That being said, she's a lot more like your typical racialist than not, and I at least have to give the family some respect like that. Well, Pastor Lindstedt has pointed out she's made some choices about the company she keeps. We'll put it that way. And yeah, I it's unfortunate that sort of stuff had to be made public. It's unfortunate she decided to make public comments about it. But no, I mean it's we've all made some mistakes, and I still have to respect her. That's just where I'm at. That's just me personally. Anyway, I thought I'd address those two things. Let's not give Obama the nigger another loan, because this whole economy problem was caused by giving niggers loans that they pay back. So, from an objective standpoint, I have to say don't raise the debt limit, but who knows what's going to happen. That's just me talking. And yeah, it's unfortunate this stuff happened in April of the 80s, so I'm going to go ahead. I've got nothing else to say. Just thought I'd throw my two cents in. Going to go ahead and shut off my mic. So, yeah, there it is.
Okay, can y'all hear me yet? Oh, okay. Alright, I'm trying to set this thing on to where... Anyway, folks, I was busy talking to Dat Merlin and said in the chat room that nobody could go ahead and hear me. I'm glad that Northwest went ahead and said something. Now, April had somewhat of a bad reputation because, well, she used to be known as quite the slut, quite the party girl. And what happens is that her and Wiggerswill were in Iowa for a couple weeks, but Wiggerswill has the bad reputation. Covington sort of alludes to it. And when I hear Radio Free Northwest, in many cases, I am hearing stuff that I've heard before many, 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 many times when Harold Covington would write it here. I think it was either in 1996, I was talking to Lewis Beam. Lewis Beam got in contact with me, wanted to talk about the militia movement. He was trying to get out of the movement in any case here. And then by 1997, I was in contact with Catchelade, and what Axis Sally went ahead and wrote on, I remember David Lane writing it at the time. And pretty well, Catchelade was a secretary, among other things. And he was talking about Railroad Richard Mache, who pretty well was the one who gave him the 190 years for the third time. And, first he got 45 years, and then he got 120 years, and then he got 190 years. All by going ahead and changing a few little things and screw the double jeopardy, so-called protection of the Constipation Bill of Goods. And he was pretty well telling Timothy McVeigh was that he was going to get screwed by Railroad Richard Mache. And sure enough, McVeigh got deaf here, and I'm not quite sure what the deal was. So anyway, I sort of met Cat Delane somewhere in 1996 or 1997. So I've heard a lot of this stuff before. And April used to run around, and from what I gather, Covington on a previous show was saying that Wiggerswill went ahead and shit on a cardboard thing here, and it is actually in this book here that costs quite a bit about the white supremacist leaders of about 1999, 2000 or something like that. And the story about Wiggerswill taking a crap dump on it here. And Wigger Squirrel, he talks tough, and he's over on Four Fag Seeds, crapping on April. And from what I gather, April went ahead and said he has a wee organ. And old Wigger Squirrel, or Will Williams, said that he didn't know that he would have to play in such a big cathedral. And from what I gather, April dumped him. But even back then, Will Williams, or Wigger Squirrel as I call him, was known for beating his humps. And along with Trader Glenn Miller, I refer to them as Anglo Mestizos. They got a little bit of red nigger in them. And essentially, that's the way they go ahead and treat women, and that's the way they treat alcohol. And you shouldn't be surprised when they treat women and alcohol the same way. They don't know how to go ahead and behave themselves or do anything like that here. So, in any case, they're giving April a hard time. And the fact of the matter is that April, for all her faults, and she has a lot of them, she did her dead level best to raise her two little twin girls as little racist white nationalists. And the main ones who are bitching about that are Jews, and then so-called people who should know better, who are simply having a fit because April's little girls have gone ahead and kicked the traces. They've kicked the little milk pail over here. Little heifers have gone ahead and become rebellious. And folks, I really hope that, her little heifers go back, because shoot, it's... The world does not care for you. The world just wants to go ahead and use and abuse little white girls. Go ahead and use them and then toss them aside. And so they will end up coming back to knowing that their mother was right. But when they're 19 or something like that, they've had a delayed little rebellion. And now that's what they're doing. And they're giving April a hard time. And I've had my I've not really had my difference with April. I was listening to a number of things about what Covington said today. And folks, I have pretty well heard... I'm trying to lock that thing down. Okay, I got it locked down. I figured out how to lock it down. Folks, I've sort of heard it before. I've been trolling Eli or James's little chat room. And, folks, I went ahead and talked to John Knight today. And John Knight believes that Hitler was a Jew, but Eli James is not. And Richard Kazar Dick Niemela, an old Finnish Jew, is not a Jew either. And, folks, people will believe whatever the hell they want to believe. John Knight believes that 239 million people died in Europe during World War II. And you cannot tell them anything, is that no Jews were killed. In fact, Jews were the ones who weren't killed during World War II. And you cannot tell certain people anything at all. And here he was, sort of praising Eli James, though he's Portuguese. I said, well, why come he looks like the Chicago Jew? No, he's Portuguese. Fine. And folks, in this movement of ours, you have delusional people. Some who are simply underbred, some who are simply liars and evil, like Wigger Squirrel. And in many cases, I sort of think that this thing treated Harold Covington rather nicely, far more than the vast majority of the movement has done so. Lewis Bean sort of liked Harold Covington. Katja Lang was slightly negative toward him, but generally neutral. She hated Trader Glenn Miller. She hated Trader Glenn Miller. Lewis Bean was able to understand me pretend to be Trader Glenn Miller's buddy, so he was trying to get back in the movement. And he could understand me going ahead, pretend to be Trader Glenn Miller's buddy, so that any time a reporter would go ahead and call, I would tell the other side that Trader Glenn Miller wouldn't, about what a dirty, lying, sneaking rat he was at Fort Smith and before, how he was a physical coward, a liar, a drunk. Essentially, he was just a no-good piece of shit. But you couldn't go ahead and say that because they thought you were Trader Glenn Miller's best friend. And I said, well, yes, but the old resistance will not accept Trader Glenn Miller. Now, when he come back to BNNF, essentially Linder lost all respect of the old resistance, and so is David Duke, and so is the rest of these clowns. Because, folks, this is a small movement. There's a whole bunch of newbies who come on the Stormfront, or like Northwest, and they don't know the history of this movement. And I need to go ahead and write that. But I've been sort of busy. This last Sunday I did not have a show because I was busy trying to save my webpage from Brian Reel. And that's this little bastard will not quit. So yes, he needs to be sued, and he needs to be enjoined, and he needs to be pretty well put away along with Eli James. But you will have people like John Knight. How dare you go ahead and sue a wonderful man of God like Eli James and Clifton Emmaheiser? Well, Clifton Emmaheiser by now should know that Brian Reel is a mongrel, a mutt, a manther. And by going ahead and going with these critters, he goes ahead and he undoes every single thing he claims to represent. Far too often, you have a different message. You have a message, and then you have totally different deeds from all that here. Now, with April, yes, he pushed her daughters forward. And the first time I ever heard of, April Gady was seeing a newspaper clipping about Prussian Blue, and yes, I read who their mother is. Oh, whatever. No big deal. I mean, April was very much a showbiz mom, and April likes taking the spotlight. But, folks, she did her dead-level best, from what I can see, to try to raise her kids to be racially aware, especially her daughters, her precious daughters. And to go ahead and gloat shit all over and call them a bunch of race traitors simply because they are using pot and, oh, they want to go ahead and be liked by their little buddies here, their little Uyghur buddies in Montana. And, folks, in South Dakota, I will have my first, my second and third cousins, my mom's first cousins, bitch to me, because they know about Indians, bitch to me about how we in Missouri and down south treat niggers because they don't have any niggers there. And you will have the same stupid crap in Montana until you have to go ahead and live with them. And it's, racism is pretty well brought up. Racial friction is brought up by racial contact, or contact, as the saying goes. So, folks, April has done her dead-level best to raise her children, and they're being a little bit rebellious. And, folks, let's just go ahead, and as I look at the Christian, the white thing to do, is hope that her daughters go through their little adolescent-out rebellion to where mommy is an idiot, and then they find out that mommy is actually smart, mommy has a point, and what happens, they settle down and have some white children of their own. Now, as far as their singing goes, I mean, it was probably as good as racial groups get, but it's not no Taylor Swift quality. But on the other hand, there was not going to be any investment put into them here. So they were fairly good musicians here. Not great ones, but competent ones. And folks, I mean, probably they didn't sell that many records. Most people in this movement just went ahead and took it off of YouTube or whatever. So folks, knowing April, and knowing what a piece of shit Wiggerswill is, something like that. In many cases, Covington has, a sort of positive, because when you compare Covington to Wiggerswill or Trader Glenn Miller, who are actual traitors and Zogbots and Mamsers, and the rest of these clowns, why, Covington isn't exactly Christian identity. I was listening to him talk about making up his own new religion or something like that. And folks, this is not Joseph Smith's time. This is not Muhammad's time. Essentially, today, you have people who worship themselves, and if they are going to want to go back to religion, they're going to want to go back to
at least the old forms of religion and not go in with any New Age, Jew Age horseshit. So, I mean, I sort of think Covington is barking up the wrong tree there. But be that as it may, folks, you know, that's part of the reason I'm really sort of allied with Harold Covington. I do not fight with him. I do really not like some of the people he is with, like Steve Elder, a.k.a. Commandor McFag, and I was trolling Commandor McFag as recently as as recently as Sunday morning, giving Commandor McFag a hard time, Eli or James a hard time, and have given, Wednesday night, I was giving Commandor McFag a hard time. I pretty well stopped for about a half hour to go ahead and water my plants, but, you know, it's hot in southwest Missouri. But, yes, I was giving Commandor McFag a hard time, and I was giving Dan Giles a hard time. And here you have all these critters, all these mamsers. Essentially, they want to turn Christian identity or white nationalism into something that is friendly for them. Jew-friendly, mamser-friendly, what have you. And I'll cover Pete Peters in just a little bit. But since we're talking about April Gady, and I did indeed intend to talk about April Gady, folks, April's made her mistakes. But the thing about it is that she has always done her best for the movement. And folks, there's also another problem in that, folks, there is really no equivalent to first-rate political female activists in this movement. None. Because the ones who, like Christian Identity women, who are really Christian Identity women or support Christian Identity males, they do not go ahead and push themselves forward. About the only one I've ever seen who did that was Terrell Edwards. We got Red Mike Vanderkike to go ahead and pull a gun on her. But essentially, she would always go ahead and look to her husband. Her husband, you know, whatever she did was fine with him because she was like, well, she was sort of a female attack dog. Sort of like a well-trained pup or something like that. So, folks, in this movement, you do not have any really strong women in many cases here. And April was, by the time Catchalyn got tired of being abused in St. Marie's, Idaho, by herself, abused because she was the wife of David Lane. The marriage was never consummated, but she went ahead and acted like his secretary for a number of times here. And, folks, April has essentially kept the faith. April has indeed kept the faith. Whereas Wiggerswill goes ahead and tells about how tough he is, how badass he is, and essentially the entire time, if you go ahead and listen to Jim Giles' interview, I think he's actually scared of Harold Covington. That's the impression I got. All these big talkers, all these big yappers, all these tough guys, be they Trader Glenn Miller, I was in the Special Forces, as a supply sergeant, or Wiggerswell. In many cases, they're Zogbots. They're paid to do whatever they're paid to do. And folks, you go ahead and you judge them not only by their fruits, but you judge them by how they are bred here. Now, in any case, April, April has pretty well done her best to go ahead and screw, I guess, the blondest character she could go ahead and find. And she screwed Wiggerswill for a short time. And from my guess, Wiggerswill has a reputation, and Covington cannot say it, but Will Williams has a reputation for, just like an Indian, of beating and skinning his humps. He got a reputation for getting all drunked up and beating his old hides. And Covington sort of alluded to that, but he's not really allowed to say it. But I am because, hey, I don't have any court order against me for mentioning Wiggerswill. By the way, how the hell did Wiggerswill get that except through Zog? totally bogus complaint. Totally bogus. And this, if you go ahead and listen to the Wigger Swill interview on Jim Dowell, essentially, Wigger Swill admitted all he did was go ahead and threaten and talk big and talk bad, and essentially this judge, who was probably already bought off to begin with, went ahead and just signed off on it. So, folks, all these big talkers, and folks, I've seen this shit over on Four Fags Feeds, and essentially what Wigger Swill does is that Wigger Swill will go ahead and try to take over a room, try to censor it, you know, along with Hattie. Folks, I got kicked off of Four Fags Feeds for essentially shitting on old Hattie. And folks, you're sort of screwed up here, because anytime I really have irritation with Harold Covington, all I have to do is remember who I hate a lot more than Harold Covington. And that's Trader Glenn Miller and Wigger Swill and Hattie the Meerkat and all these freaking creators. I mean, Covington isn't exactly 100%, but essentially we agree the Zog has to go. Now, he's trying to go ahead and build a Northwest Republic, and I don't think he's going to succeed. Certainly not with the raw material he has. And folks, I was listening to a show, and some of this stuff, most of this stuff, too, most of you is new. But I have gone ahead and seen Harold Covington write it 4 or 5 or 6 times before. So, in many cases, I know what he's going to go ahead and say, and folks, it seems like he relearns it all the time that essentially this movement of ours is full of, well, fucktards, idiots, mamzers, Jews, criminals, you know, insane clowns, but mainly just solipsists who care for no one other than themselves. And he's going to go ahead and try to find 1,000 righteous men out of that when Abraham and Yahweh couldn't find one righteous man in Sodom and had to settle for his nephew Lot, who was essentially just a worthless piece of shit himself. Folks, I don't think, you know, Harold Covington is going to go ahead and get up. You know, he's making some traction, and I'm not really going to go ahead and argue with it. I'm not really going to go ahead and fight with it. I was tempted to go ahead and tell about the movement turd over on Northwest Imperative. I thought, ah, screw it. I mean, he got his, you know, Harold got his bunch and I got mine. So, folks, you know, I tend to go ahead and have a slight liking for Harold Covington, and I'm not, you know, I mean, I see what he's trying to do. I don't think he's going to succeed in doing it. And part of it is Christian identity teaching. We believe that the saving of the white race is through Jesus Christ coming, when this great tribulation is pretty well putting an end to the Whiggers. And folks, a lot of people, every so often I get a question from news media reptiles and some old people here. Well, how's Lewis doing? And I said, I don't know. I don't know. He's not, you know, he was trying to get out of the movement in 1996. He's pretty well got out of the movement. He pretty well stays and goes ahead and looks. And people are saying, why didn't Butler go ahead and make him his successor instead of Newman Britton? Well, the answer, Newman Britton was a dual feed liner. What happens is Lewis Beam is really a single feed liner, pretty well through the Klan. So as a result, he wouldn't have been accepted. He wouldn't be accepted by, you know, dual feed liner, nor did he want to go ahead and be, you know, pretty well Butler's successor. He was wanting to get out of the movement by 1992. And he sent me a tape, and I think what Harold Covington's looking for is that videotape of what he was saying over at Pete Peters Estes Park thing in 1992, which some people claim was the start of the modern militia movement, even, you know, just after Ruby Ridge and before Waco.
and I don't know where I put that tape. If I had it, I'd probably go ahead and copy it to DVD and then send a copy to Covington and then send a copy to whoever, and they can load the thing up themselves, you know, via YouTube. And the title of it was Enemies of the State. And Louis Beam said proudly he was an enemy of the state. So Louis Beam has, you know, I mean, he's very, very intelligent man. He goes ahead and he drives these people nuts. But in many cases, he has wanted to get out of the movement for a while. And I think in the mid-90s, they were trying to trump up a bogus child molestation case against him in 1996-1997. So, I don't know. I've seen a lot of this stuff go on before. In the case of April, I think that what we need to understand is that April has, you know, essentially April has done her best. And, folks, I mean, April was a better person than Wigger Squiller will ever be, and Hadding and the rest of these Pearsite retards will ever be. Because when it comes down to it, they don't give a crap about the fate of the white race, because most of them ain't even quite white. But more to the point, they love themselves more than they love Yahweh or they love our people. So as a result, you know, they end up acting the way they end up acting, and there is no changing them. There's no changing them. And as they get older, Wiggers will, let's say, about when I had this bogus thing dismissed against me on February 27th, I'd gone ahead and set up a PastorLinson.org PHPBB board, and I invited Harold Covington to go ahead and be on it because, well, he liked the Juhu grouping, but essentially, in order to go ahead and be on Juhu grouping, you had to have it be secret, because if you weren't secret, then guess what? You would go ahead and get kicked off by any Jew whining that his feelings were hurt. So as a result, these Juhu groupings would have okay, well, I'm back. Can you hear me now? Okay, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay, heck. Yeah, can you hear me now? Okay. In any case, I hate pal talk. But getting on with it. In any case, folks, way back in March of 2009, I went in and offered to have Hal Gary Hill Covington come on my forum. It was a PHPBB forum. He went ahead and took me up on it. And folks, that's when we end up getting allied together. But folks, what happens is that over the past 3 years, 2.5 years, Hill Covington has essentially gone out of seclusion and is essentially
carrying forward his dream, his plans, his, well, whatever you want to call them. Whereas Wiggerswill is reduced to simply backbiting and sniveling and whining and shitting and acting like a Jew against Harold Covington and his Northwest migration plan. Harold Covington, by going ahead and being acted against by Zog and the rest here, has gotten a bigger following than he ever had before, and he is making some traction. Now, I don't believe it's going to be enough, because I do believe in the Great Tribulation. But folks, Harold Covington is making some forward progress. Now, in some cases, he has some people, like Command Dork McFagg, a.k.a. Steve Elder, who's going to go ahead and impede that progress if he's not careful. But folks, he is making some forward progress. He is getting some traction. He is seeing that traction. But it is so slow and so painful, and sometimes Harold Covington, I see, hear some of the despair in his voice. But anyway, we were talking about April Gatty, and folks, I'm not going to go ahead and crap on April Gatty at all. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and come to the next section. I'm going to go ahead and try to use Pal Talk again. We end up having about 40 minutes of ability to go ahead and get things done. So, folks, I'll be back in just a little while, and hail victory. There was some dork named Hal who thought the Fibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to snitch. His buddy threatened judges three and two. He slapped old Hal CP. So Hal's gonna be my dick swigger bitch. Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands. Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. Long ago, a rat named Glenn read his comrades over and again. But Zog gave him a bag full of Zog bucks. A little Guido loves digging fox, stitches, tickles, and cocksucks. The colostomy bag's name is VNL. Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty juice command. Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. I used to know a boss named Visser, a Duke Mister, a little pisser, who was going ass to mouth with lion rod. A mum, that nigger, and East Molester, a pisser, pooker, possum, chester. Not a single one of them was very bright. Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty juice command. Zog'll fuck you up. Yeah, Zog'll fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can.
Okay, folks. This is Movement Turd number 79. And what I've decided to call it is In Transitions. Now, previously we had Northwest and myself talk a little bit about April Gatty. April is quite the firecracker, and essentially she pretty well dominates her family. And in many cases, they go ahead and they react. And sometimes they react, and sometimes they just passively accept it, and life goes on. But for someone whose life didn't go on was Pete Peters. He died supposedly on the 7th of July, and that's been, what, over 2 weeks ago. And folks, from what I gather, Pete Peters' family was a little bit concerned about the Jews. And so they made sure he was in the ground, and then they announced he was dead a couple of days afterwards when he was in the ground, I guess. That's what Eli James says. And Eli James is a big liar as well as a Jew, but I think that's quite correct.
Now, folks, on the 15th, you had it coming out about Pete Peters dying. It was on Sperm Front. And, folks, I met Pete Peters. And, folks, I got, and not all together, I got a mixed reaction with Pete Peters. But I was going ahead and looking at the one by Ashkenazi Asswipe, or Anchorage Activists. And I've gotten a little bit, a little bit more understanding of, well, Anchorage Activists, even though he's wrong, he believes that allowing traitors like Traitor Glenn Miller or something like that, Wiggerswill, the VNNF retard crew of Jews and the rest can go ahead and help white nationalism. And answer, nothing can help white nationalism. Nothing at all. But he came up with a, I'll go ahead and read some of it. I'll go ahead and read some of what he ended up having to say. Christian Identity Pastor Pete Peters of the La Porte Church of Christ in Colorado passed away at the age of 64. And he says that Pete Peters, he died at the age of 64, which is not very old, really. Didn't get his 3 score and 10 in. And he went ahead and said, now, essentially, from what I gather, Pete Peters had a horseback accident or something like that, and he was ailing. And perhaps his kidney shut down or something like that. Now, there's some people saying the dog poisoned him and all this good shit. And I don't think that's the case at all. But on the other hand, you never know. You never know. But he said that he was the original seed line. And the answer is no. In 1999, Pete Peters said he was no, he's not gay, he's not Catholic, and he's not Chris, he's not identity. And it came in reaction to a article by Patty Neal, who started out life as a liberal feminist, and perhaps even a mud shark, I don't know. But she used to like niggers. She used to edit this William Blake quarterly thing in the University of New York at Rochester, the sort of liberal, wigger, feminist thing to do. And as time went on, she got involved in the militia movement, she got involved in the movement, and she was pretty well torn between Claire Wolfe, the libertoon, little jukal bitch, and people like myself at Christian Identity. And she ended up marrying a man who's a little bit older than her, and I think they live in a sort of commune in southern Indiana. In any case, though, it worked out, from my gather, she went from being a liberal feminist to being a wife here. And since I guess her husband doesn't approve of her showing herself, she no longer writes any articles. So she's disappeared sometime in 2002, 2003, something like that. But in 1998, I was fighting with this bitch, Claire Wolfe, and Red Mike Vanderkuyke, well, just like usual. Because, like all liberal wiggers, they want to pretend that, essentially, white people don't have a right to determine who they live with. They don't have a right to be anything other than slaves to niggers and Jews. Now, other people, other wiggers have to be the slaves of niggers and Jews. They don't, but other wiggers do. And wiggers will sell each other out. She wrote an article called This Christian Identity Thing, and said she would go ahead and investigate Christian Identity more. And it occurred because of a fight in summer of 1998 between me and Red Mike and another libertoon, liar Neil Smith, and Claire the Jukal Wolf, and all the rest of them. And essentially, I told him to fuck off. And this Claire the Jukal Wolf bitch, just like Red Mike, don't believe in free speech. If by free speech, it means that essentially white people will say, hey, I want to live next to niggers, and I don't want to go ahead and be owned and controlled as a wage and tax slave by Jews. Why, that's racist, and that's awful. But at the same time, these thieves want to collect, an SSI disability check, and they want to go ahead and make other wiggers live with Jews. She wrote this, Christian Danny thing, and Pete Peters seen it, and he decided he was tired of being called identity. Now, in 1992, at Estes Park, he was quite the fire breather. Louis Thieme, and what they said was the forerunner of the militia movement before Waco. In 1992, between Ruby Ridge and Waco, you had this meeting at Estes Park that Pete Peters had pretty well brought about, with a lot of people who were one seed line and, you know, dual seed line. Now, folks, a one seed line does not like being referred to as a one seed liner. What he prefers to be called is covenant. As in, yes, there was a worldwide flood. No, Jews are not the spawn of Satan, which is the dual seed line belief. He don't like being called the one seed line. He likes being called the covenant. In that Yahweh made a covenant with Abraham after the flood. There was a worldwide flood, and essentially, one seed line in many ways dates from British Israelitism. And 1999, Peters was pissing everybody off. I said, I'm not gay, I'm not Catholic, and I'm not identity. Or, you know, I'm not gay, I'm not identity. I forget what, it might have been the second one may have been Catholic or something like that. Essentially what he was saying is that gay used to mean something totally different. And now he was saying that identity meant something different, and essentially he didn't want to go ahead and be with it. Now, folks, do I blame Pete Peters for having such a view from changing from 1992 in the 7 years to where essentially Pete Peters wanted to withdraw from the bowel movement and pretty well run his church of probably a couple thousand? I mean, folks, as far as Christian identity goes, it's as close to a mega church. Him and Arnold Murray have as close to a mega church as anything. And folks, they understand the dual seed line message. Arnold Murray, which lives about 60 miles south of me, doesn't call them Jews. He calls them Kenites, which is another way for calling them a Jew, but slip under the radar. And so he's sort of an identity minister as well. And folks, if you go ahead and look to where Pete Peters was talking to lost and found sheep of the house of Israel, Pete Peters actually remained an identity minister. Now, did he have his pet Jew, Charles Weissman? The answer is yes, he did. Did he have his nigger of the month? Yes, he did. There were some people who said that Pete Peters had a little bit of red nigger in him, and his first wife, Sherry, went ahead and dominated him. And, folks, you will have such gossip every time you go ahead and turn around. Just like, Roxy is a hybrid nigger, or Roxy is a gook, or something like that. And I said, no, she's not. But, folks, you just go ahead and you answer it, but you're still going to go ahead and hear the lies from liars. There's nothing else better to do. So, what to do? Anyway, I was getting a bunch of trouble in 2000 for not being baptized since I was an infant. And I said, no, I believe there's going to be a civil war, and essentially I want to have free hand to kill Mamzers, Jews, and Whiggers, and regime criminals, without having to essentially repent of anything I do. Folks, I don't believe that what needs to be done, the survival of the white race, by going ahead and participating in this great tribulation, is something that any man, any white man, any Aryan man, any Christian identity man needs to feel sorry for. Because essentially what you are doing is you are carrying out the necessary butchery of diseased animals. You see, folks, I'm a pastor. And what I have done, or what my ministry is about, is bringing about a great tribulation. Not like Eli James trying to go ahead and turn Christian identity into a Jew-loving religion. Not another Jew like Bill Fink trying to go ahead and Talmudize Christian identity in something he knows absolutely nothing about into a sort of form of Catholicism. Not like Brian Real, Sword Brethren, trying to go ahead and let every single Mamzer come in and then go ahead and kick out whatever is white and true. Not like Clint Downey and Mark Downey, who goes ahead and comes up with crap about there being no Satan the devil, except, well, of course, for Pete Peters. But in any case, I figured out a long time ago that Pete Peters did go ahead and bring newbies all together into Christian identity. and it did make absolutely no sense to go ahead and burn all bridges with Pete Peters, even though he said he was not identity. The better and the smarter and the more knowledgeable, the ones who are actually seeking things, would eventually go from being a British Israelite, you know, single seed line, a.k.a. covenant. They will learn stuff from Peters, but sooner or later they will get tired of Peters, so it does not make sense for me to go ahead and fight with essentially some of the nursery school for dual seed line Christian identity. Because, folks, very few are like Pastor John Britton, who have had numerous members of their family come into it. Folks, I'm really second generation because I was a child when my dad went to Herbert Armstrong's church. So I guess really I wasn't exactly born into it, but I've been into it and learned enough of it to realize that it's not for everyone, and that only Christ can go ahead and make you want to seek Him. You see, you do not do anything so presumptuous as to choose God, but rather Christ chooses you. And that is the way it is. So as a result, I've understood that you have a bunch of new people coming in, and Pete Peters, for a number of his faults, and I'll go ahead and detail some of his faults. But folks, Pete Peters was, from what I can gather, a white man. He was, very much determined to run things his way. Pete Peters made no secret of the fact there was Pete Peters' way or the highway if you went to one of his meetings. I went in May of 2002 at Memorial, during the memorial season. I took Roxy, took Helen with me, my granddaughter, my beloved granddaughter. And they got to go ahead and swim in the pool, and they got to go to Silver Dollar City while I went occasionally to Pete Peters' services. And I was looking at communion stuff, and what the hell is that about? It's so Roman Catholic. It's so quasi-Mormon. And, folks, that was nothing. Nothing like a worldwide Church of God service. But on the other hand, some of them were quite... Okay, and I got baptized by Pete Peters one morning. And one of 13 people who got baptized by Pete Peters. The next to the last guy, from what I gathered. And folks, Pete Peters, I went ahead and told him that I was a dual seed line believer. I was getting a bunch of trouble about not being baptized, so I decided to be baptized. Since he was there, I would like him to go ahead and do it. I told him I would not cause any trouble. I would be polite. I would not really discuss doctrinal differences. And Pete Peters agreed to allow me to attend his services. And I pretty well told him straight up front, he wasn't where I was. And he really looked at me owly. I went ahead and probably told him that I may have had something to do with him, deciding not to be identity no more. And Pete Peters did not cash my $25 check and my $15 for Vigilantes of Christendom book, by Richard Kelly Hoskins, for about 6 or 8 weeks after the thing. And he looked at me owly. But on the other hand, Pete Peters was dealt honorably with me. He dealt fairly with me. Essentially, we both understood what the deal was going on. We both kept our agreements. So... there may not have been any great love or trust, but on the other hand, Pete Peters was an honorable man. Now, I think he was somewhat arrogant. I think he was somewhat of an asshole. But on the other hand, folks, Pete Peters does not have time to go ahead and cater to my wishes. I was there on his turf visiting his flock. I was a guest in his house, and therefore it was up to me to go ahead and conform my behavior to what Pete Peters wanted. And so I did. So we parted, I guess you could say, on the level and on the square or whatever. No Masonic stuff here. Now, folks, over the years, Clint Downey, a.k.a. Debbie Downey, and their little meerkat Mark, they hate Pete Peters. And it isn't over doctrinal issues, even though he comes up with the Sheldon Emery no-devil horse shit. no devil except Pete Peters. And over the years, I would go ahead and set up a Hotmail account and essentially tell Scriptures for America, a.k.a. Pete Peters, about what Clint Downey and what her little meerkat were talking about him. I got to where Clint and her little meerkat did not feel like going to, you know, didn't dare go to a Pete Peters concert, which was fine. Which was fine. I mean, I want Clint Downey and the rest to be ghettoized. And that's what I've done over the years. You have wandering Jews, you have bitches like Clint, you have a number of these people. I want them and their followers to be located just like Jews in their own little ghetto, to where they do not have freedom of action. And that's the way I've gone ahead and done it. Now, since Pete Peters died, it seems like every little mamzer has crawled out of the woodwork. There's one called Solomon, or Saul, son of light. Folks, I first met this mamzer back at Sci-Fi Faber's Forum. Then he went to Pisser's Forum, and he's still at Pisser's Forum. And occasionally goes over to 2.5 mamzers, I think. And somebody went ahead and detected that this character didn't act like an Israelite. What is your name? And essentially, Lenio C. Barcelos, because I know his name, because he was with Sci-Fi Faber, plotting for whatever reason to kick me out of Sci-Fi's church. Since I wasn't in Sci-Fi's church, I hadn't laughed with Sci-Fi. Sci-Fi was a complete idiotic goofball retard who essentially was going ass to mouth with Hal Turner. They both lived in New Jersey. Essentially, he was a nutcase. Sci-Fi Faber was, J. Faber. And essentially, you don't hear too much about him anymore. So then he went on to Visser. And his real name is Lenio Barcelos, but he says his name is Dave Lenio. Then he whines that I've gone ahead and given him a different name. No, that's what your email said. Lenio C. Barcelos. So I call him Lenio Squiggio, Barcelos, Manzeros, or whatever. But what gets me is that you have every single little critter in Christian identity wanting to tell Eli James, or not Eli James, but wanting to tell, well, Pete Peters what how he ought to run his church and how his successorship should be filled up. Let me tell you what is going to inevitably happen. There will be someone who they will choose as a successor, and it will probably, after about a year or so, go on to have about, maybe a third of as many members as what it used to have. Because, from what I gather, Pete Peters did not really choose a successor. He didn't really want a successor. And look, folks, judging by some of the people who are around him, just like you have around Harold Covington, and like I would have around me if I allowed it to happen. I do not allow it to happen because, folks, I do not desire any followers. And the reason I do not desire any followers is that, folks, my job is to decentralize the movement, decentralize Christian identity, not to go ahead and essentially run things so that if I get thrown in jail or sent back to a nut house, things will fall apart. Folks, I'm not trying to build anything. I'm not trying to build myself a ministry. All I'm trying to do is talk to the people who are out there saying that when this great tribulation happens, the ones of you who are prepared, and the ones of you who are ruthless, and the ones of you who are meant to live, will live, while all around you will be a bunch of dead wiggers, millions of dead mamzers, millions, you know, hundreds of thousands of dead Jews in your neighborhood. And how you live will be a condition of your ability to do what needs to be done. To go ahead, if need be, take care of your own wiggers and do it at a time here when, essentially, things are falling apart so that you and the better members of your family survive, and some of them do not. And folks, this is what is going to save the white race, the Great Tribulation, because all the cancer, all the disease, all the ones who cannot and will not be able to survive and be able to go ahead and solve problems will die with the rest of the non-white and Jew and Uyghur problem makers. So, some of you out there is not really a Hitler class leader. I don't even think there's a Kaiserich of the Vandals level leader, but I do think that there is a local Pol Pot among you, a local, well, essentially a warlord. And folks, what I see at the end of this Great Tribulation is only about 10 million, if that, white people left and ruled over there, it being broke up to about 10,000 principalities. And folks, I'm not trying to build anything. Folks, rather, I am going with the flow of history and I'm going with the destruction of things. But getting back to Pete Peters. Pete Peters, from what I gather, did not prepare a successor, did not want a successor. I guess he thought he could live forever. So, while he was alive, things run very well. And when he's dead, well, possibly the best or not the best of his successors will try to run things just like Pete Peters does, just like you have all these Herbert W. Armstrong remnants and splinters which try to run things as best they can. And they succeed and they fail in most cases. But you still have people, sheep, who are going ahead and looking for leaders. And I think that at least a third of the sheep will stick together. But right now, once they figure it out that Pete Peters is dead, he's not coming back, you probably already have around Pete Peters a bunch of people trying to get into things and tear, and to go ahead and tear off a hunk of whatever they can. And that is the way things always are. But in any case, just because Pete Peters is dead and he doesn't have a successor does not mean that anybody else is going to come out from beyond the pale and that there is going to be somebody who's going to go ahead and fix Pete Peters' church. And the answer is no, it's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. So anyway, what I wanted to say about Pete Peters is that I thought Pete Peters, of all the single seed liners, he didn't preach the idiotic no-devil doctrine like Clint Downey and the rest here, or Dave Barley. He wasn't a race mixer. He was a rather stern and businesslike man. And folks, I do not blame him for getting out of the bowel movement and decided, hey, we didn't need any of this stupid shit. Folks, I urge people not to join the bowel movement, not to go ahead and get involved in the stupid shit. So if Pete Peters seen that in 1999, seen the handwriting on the wall and decided that he didn't want any part of it, I certainly am not going to blame him for it. In fact, I think he's very smart to do so. So, in any case, overall, I think Pete Peters was probably the best of the lot. Other than Arthur Murray, he runs a fairly good ministry, It's not exactly my type of ministry, but hey, folks, if Arthur Murray has the benefit of being located in one seed line, small congregation heaven. So, and he has his own little TV and radio studio. And he runs it pretty well like a business. And folks, I have nothing bad to say about Arthur Murray. I mean, essentially, if you like that, then hey. Me, I don't. Because generally, my church essentially is, well, it's not
I'm not in the business to make money from tithes and offerings, because as I look at it, I have a problem with accepting money for being a clergyman when Jesus Christ did not accept money for being Jesus Christ. Yahweh has provided me with a living, and I pretty well do pretty well what is easy and live my life as, you know, fairly easy as I can. Pretty well talking about the Great Tribulation and telling people, don't join these idiot groups. Stay away from these idiot people. And folks, what I need to do, and I have noticed this, is that Eli James, being a Jew, he has no understanding and no love for genuine dual seed line Christian identity ministries. And neither does William Fink. I mean, he's even more of a nasty Jew than Eli James. So what I'm thinking of doing is taking my hour of great tribulation and turning it into a church service, sort of based on what I learned when I was a kid in Herbert Armstrong's church, and running about a 1 hour sermon without any chat, without any interruptions, without any nonsense, and pretty well doing it of a Saturday and posting it for that Saturday's consumption or the next Saturday's consumption. And pretty well I'm catching up with my forum, I'm catching up with my, trying to catch up with my movement turds, and the next push is the lawsuit. Finish writing it up. Pretty well putting Brian Real on the outs. And, well, pretty well doing more than just simply, I mean, showing what a Christian identity service should look like and what should be preached. And not this stupid crap of like papist preterism is that the tribulation has already occurred and the millennium has already occurred and all this other sort of stupid crap. Folks, Christian identity has really declined. And that's the bad thing about Pete Peters dying. As far as one seed line Christian identity goes, Pete Peters was the best of a rather sorry lot. And folks, Pete Peters, you know, I pretty well determined that I would not cause trouble for Pete Peters. Well, part of it because I hate Clunt Downey and her little meerkat a lot more. But a lot of it is because, folks, if you really get into the one seed line or covenant, Pete Peters did do a very good job as far as doctrine, as far as scholarship. Pete Peters was probably the best of the one seed line Christian Identity Church, and he ran as large a Christian Identity congregation as anyone has. Now, Arthur Murray, I think, is more really like a dual seed liner. He's not really a hardcore dual seed liner, but essentially he talks in code. So I would say Arthur Murray is more of a dual seed liner than a one seed liner, because he don't talk about Jews being the spawn of Satan. He calls them Kenites. But folks, anybody who's able to understand knows what a Kenite is. A Kenite is simply a Cainite, a.k.a. a Jew. And I'd say Arthur Murray is more of a dual seed liner than Pete Peters is, and Pete Peters was the best of the one seed liners. And folks, I really think I will miss Pete Peters, because, you know, I mean, he offered stability. Yes, he did have his pet Jew, Charles Weissman, and his nigger of the month, but essentially, as far as one single seed line was, he was pretty well the best of a very, very, very sorry lot of veil priests. And essentially, he was far above Benny Hine and, you know, these skillet-licking Jewy Fagswell and the rest of these, you know, Pat Robertson and all these other clowns. So, yeah, as far as a single seed line,
or Covenant, as he probably would prefer to be called. He was the best of a very, very, very sorry lot. And he offered stability. He offered pretty well, you know, because of his force of character. He went ahead and he stabilized that particular area of the above-ground Christian Identity Church. So, folks, I mean, Pete Peters, now, some of us are going to miss you. I'm going to miss you, well, not a lot, but I'm going to miss you at least a little, because I did appreciate what Pete Peters did. And Pete Peters offered stability, and he offered leadership for the one seed liners of Chris Zandetti. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and end this sort of tribute to Pete Peters. And it was meant to be, it was meant to be a tribute to Pete Peters. I did think Pete Peters was a honorable man, although a little bit stern. But on the other hand, there's so much silliness running around. That was a good thing here. I think Pete Peters was fairly well a class act here as far as one seed line, Chris Sandin is concerned. And folks, I used to be a one seed liner. I really didn't change the dual seed liner lineism till about 1997 or so. Started out, under Herbert Armstrong's church, did not like what Herbert Armstrong did. So folks, I really did have some respect for Pete Peters. And folks, I think this movement will miss Pete Peters. They really will. So all right, I'm going to go ahead and end with the four and Geyer. I'm going to go ahead and bring it down to about 20 in the tank, and then I'm going to have a show tonight. So I'm going to say, Hail Victory, may Yahweh bless. Good night.
White men clad in black are we, hi-yi-oh, and we'll stamp out God's tyranny, hi-yi-oh. White men go, we vote ho, our Mr. T. Root, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the corn as long, let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie-lei-i, all who was then the ruling man, Kyrie-lei-i. Why say go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock grow. Why say go, civil war ho, on the corner blocks, let red blood flow. For white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On sogling neck we stomp our boots to stamp out gusto. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the court of laws, let red blood flow. The regime must only love his greed, hi-yi-oh-ho. The love of God our only need, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause of rights, hi-yi-oh. hope. Our sons won't have to go and fight. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White mango, we vote ho. On the city route, let the red cock crow. White mango, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.